forward to. But that's the legacy that we have. So praise God. Open your Bibles to Luke 4:18. That was the last verse that was shown there on the video. And I want to look at that. But before we do, I want to pray. Start with a word of prayer. So Father God, we come to you right now and we thank you so much for your great grace and your mercy, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've started in us, that work that you started in us, Lord God, that you will see it through to completion, Father God. Despite the trials we go through in life, despite, Lord God, the things that we encounter, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you enable us to overcome. Father God, that you give us strength to continue on. And Lord, we thank you so much that your Spirit's here with us, working with us, helping us, Lord God, to do the work that you've called us to do. We love you, Lord Jesus. We praise your holy name. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Luke 4:18 reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Verse 19 reads, "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, this is a verse that we all hear a lot. You know, what is this verse? What's talking about here? Well, a little background story on it, and I'm going to be short because we need to have these testimonies up here to see this. But you know, a little background story on this is Jesus was in the synagogue, and as the customs were in those days, men would stand up and they would stand up to read in the synagogues, and they would be delivered a book, and they would read a prescribed passage. And it just so happened that Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, was delivered a passage that was prophetic of him. So he stands up and he reads in their synagogue and reads these words and sits down. And everybody was amazed because they never heard it quite read like that. See, this is the mission statement of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus Christ was sent to do: to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And we're going to run through some things real quickly, and I hope that you'll understand that that's the way that us as Christians are sent as well. If we turn to John, I've got it written down here somewhere. John 20:21. Jesus has appeared to his disciples. And, you know, he's just appeared out of nowhere, and it kind of takes the disciples aback. And he says this, he says, "And then Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you.'" As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Jesus was sent how? We read that in Luke 4:18. To preach the gospel. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. He was sent to set at liberty the captives. He was sent to heal people and give them life and love and just to be God, to love people. And as Jesus was sent, so are we. He sent us in a like manner. I have notes here that it's just not going to work out to read all. But you all know the Great Commission that we always like to read out of Mark chapter 16. Let's turn there real quick. You know, I had in mind that I would preach today and share with you about the power of the gospel, and I'll do that. But this is what I want to get across to you: that every one of us, every single person in here, if you've called on the name of Jesus, the miracle power of Jesus Christ, the salvation of God lives on the inside of you and is reaching out towards others. You have that power resident on the inside of you. You know, God has an enemy, And through the centuries, he subtly worked to erode the faith of God's people. He's tried to erode their faith in God's salvation and his provision and most of all in his miracles and the manifest power of the Holy Spirit. And we can't let that happen. See, we've been conditioned to believe that only a few chosen people, only a few anointed people have this power of praying for the sick and seeing them recover. Have this, well, only a few chosen or anointed people can go and share the gospel and see people get saved or pray. You know, it regardless, that's what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to call in question the Word of God. But we as Christians, we have to take God's Word at face value. And as we read in Mark 16, starting in verse 15, we see why. It says, this passage wasn't just written to the disciples. This passage wasn't just written to the anointed people. It wasn't just written to the preachers, the pastors, the evangelists, and all this. This passage was written to every Christian on the face of the earth. And Jesus says, and he said unto them in verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe." How many of you in this church believe? Raise your hands. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." You're one that believes. These signs will follow you. What are these signs? "In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Sounds great, doesn't it? So then, in verse 19, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." And this is the kicker for me. Verse 20. "And they went forth," and what did they do? They were obedient to what Jesus told them to do. They preached everywhere. What did they preach? The gospel. The simple gospel of Jesus Christ. What is that simple gospel? That Jesus was born of a virgin named Mary. That he grew up and became a man, that he showed many miracles. He healed the lepers. He made the cripples to walk and the blind to see. He made the deaf to hear, to show God's love. That he died, shed his blood on that cross, a violent death, so that we could have remission of our sins. And he rose again on the third day. And that he's alive today, forever. That's the gospel. That's what we're called to believe. That's what we're called to preach. How simple is that? Simple enough that any uneducated villager in a third world country can understand it. Yet, powerful enough that any highly educated person in the United States or Europe or wherever needs it. Verse 20. "And they went forth and preached everywhere." They preached the gospel everywhere. "And the Lord working with them, confirming his word with signs following." Confirming his word with signs following. See, the beauty of it is that we don't do the work. All we're sent to do is to proclaim. We go and we preach the gospel. And the rest is up to God. He does the rest. We saw some miracles on here, some miracle testimonies on here. Crippled people. That guy had that tumor that dissolved off of his chest. And man, these things, were those miracles because Jerry and Marilyn are such anointed preachers that they're so powerful? You know, they spent years and years in study of the Word and because they pray 24 hours a day and all this kind of stuff? No. Those miracles happened because the gospel was preached and faith went along with it. As you read your Bible, and I encourage you to do this, read your New Testament, every time you see a miracle, you will see two things: the gospel and faith. the gospel and faith. So, without any further ado, we're getting kind of short on time, but I want to call up the team that went with me to Honduras. Everybody, there's 13 of you. I'm counting, so you guys come up here. So, we want to praise God. Let's just stand up here. We had an awesome, awesome time. Awesome, awesome people went with us. Look at this team. Pastor Jeff was telling me, before we left, he said, you couldn't handpick a team better than this. I mean, we have people from all walks of life, every age group. We have people, short people, skinny people. We have, I won't go the other way on that, I don't want to offend Mark. we had so much fun. Man, we had fun. And each one of these guys has a story to tell. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start at one end, I guess, and go down the other. Helena gets to go first. I was asking Helena if she was ready to testify, if she's ready to give testimony about the trip. And she said, "What, are you kidding me? I was ready 2 days after we got back. I've been ready for 2 weeks." So go ahead.
So I'm ready. I didn't make any notes, though, so going off the top of my head. So miracles, there was many that we saw there. We went door-to-door during the day for 3 days, and we had miracles then, too, not just at the Crusades. We went one a day with my interpreter. We were talking to this old lady, and elder lady, and she was 66. sorry. And
she was young yet.
Yes.
She's still young.
Yeah.
Keep you out of trouble.
So we were talking to her, and she was saved, that she asked Jesus into her heart, and we were like, "Okay, so do you still believe that Jesus does miracles today?" She's like, "Oh, yeah, he healed me," and I can't remember what she said that he had healed her of, and we're like, "Well, do you need any prayer now?" And she's like, "Yeah, I had fallen down and broken something in her shoulder." I don't know what it was, but she broke her shoulder. And so she had a lot of pain, and so we prayed for her, and she was an elder, and you know how they like to talk a lot. So she just started talking and telling about how she was healed before, and we're like, "Well, how do you feel now?" And she was telling about how what she could do before. She said that before she could lift her arm like this, and then she couldn't do this. And when she said she couldn't do this, she's like, "Hey, the pain's gone. It doesn't hurt anymore." And so that was amazing just to see, she wasn't even, she was expecting it because she had been healed before, but, she kind of was taken off guard too. And then there was another older lady a different day that we ministered to, and her and her granddaughter, she was 17, I think, and then her grandma got saved, and we asked her if she needed any healing, and she was sitting in a hammock in her backyard, and there was a cane next to her, and so she asked for healing for that, and so I got down and I put my hands on her knees, and we prayed, and stop laughing at me. And so I prayed for her. I was making sure I got all the words right, because, just in case that might help. But we got done praying, and we're like, "So how do you feel?" And she said, I can feel something going through my legs." And we're like, "Really?" "Oh, okay." Mark grabbed her hands, and we stood her up off the hammock, and she stood there, and then she started walking, and she was walking around, and she said that she had not been able to walk for 2 years without her cane. And we were talking to her granddaughter also, and her granddaughter said, "Yeah, I've never seen my grandma walk like that for 2 years." So it's pretty amazing. Okay.
Praise God. Praise God.
Let me see. Like Helena said, we went out three days ministering the word. And I believe it was the second day that I went out. We came upon this home, and there was a mother, a daughter, actually two daughters, and about five kids, ranging from the age of about 2.5 to about 5, just all in a row there. And it was Sergio's turn to minister because we took turns. One person would go first, and then we take turns, and we do it that way. And as Sergio started to minister, and he's telling the kids to listen, and And one of the older daughters, I believe she's about, I don't know, early 20s, she wasn't very receptive, and she went about her work and her chores of the day. But the mother and the other daughter stayed there listening to Sergio. So as Sergio presented the gospel, the mother and the daughter was attuned to what he was saying. And when he asked them if, after he was done presenting the gospel, if they was ready to receive Christ into their hearts, the mother and the daughter took a back step and said that they were not ready. So at that point, I just felt led by the Holy Spirit to show them in Romans 10:9-10, where it says that if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. And in 10, it says that with the mouth confession is made unto righteousness, and with the heart you believe. And in 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And actually, I had her read it. And as she read it, I asked her if she understood, and I asked her to read it again. And then I went to tell her, you know, that she couldn't do that for her mom, and her mom couldn't do that for her. It's every individual for themselves that has to call upon the name of the Lord. And when I said that, I asked her again, are you ready to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? And she said, yeah. So Sergio led him through the sinner's prayer. And, I mean, even the kids were trying to say it along. And when we were all done and we was about ready to leave, the little three-year-old girl that was sick, she was just real congested, couldn't hardly talk, just really congested in the chest, runny nose. And so we prayed over her. And I went to go visit with the mother and the daughter. You know, they were creeping up, crying and weeping, and they were just happy. And while I was talking to them, Sergio told me later after we left that the little girl, the three-year-old girl, came up to him and said in Spanish, Jesus me salvó, which means Christ has healed me.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Before you start, I want to just explain. We went on this mission trip, and it wasn't just, you know, to go and minister. I mean, we did do some ministry, and it was awesome ministry. We had a total of 1,705 people come to the Lord. And that was out of 3 days of crusading. You're like, well, Cole, you guys were gone for a long time. You know, you were gone a lot longer than that. Well, we went down to experience the missionary lifestyle. We went down there, and we experienced the Bible school. And we experienced what Jerry and Marilyn and Mark and Sandra do while they're down there every day. And we went out for the 3 days. And the 3 days, we go during the day, house to house, preaching the gospel. And then at night, we'd have a meeting where everybody could come. And most of our salvations came from house to house. Go ahead.
We went out in groups of three or four. A lot of times, the gringos, of course, had an interpreter with them. And Helene and I went out together. And it was just about three blocks down from where the lady with the cane was healed that we ministered to a whole family. They were all very receptive of the gospel. Of course, they believed that that Jesus was born of the Virgin and that he lived a life of miracles and still does them today. They believed that he died on the cross for our sins, and they believed in their hearts and confessed that he rose again on the third day. And then we, of course, What the verse said in 16:20, that the Lord was with them, working with them. If there's anything I felt more on this trip, was that the Lord was working with us. Every house, every situation, every relationship, every conversation, I could feel the Lord directing our words, directing particular situations in homes and families and lives that would get the gospel message home to them. At the end of this, the whole family came to the Lord. There was probably, what, five, six? There's a lot there. I don't remember. But they all said that they understood. They received the Lord. And when asked, is there any sick among you that need to be healed? The mother said that, yes, since she was 22 years old, she had had pain internally in her side. She said she'd been to doctors, and all they wanted was more money, and they never could help her. She was now 46. Whatever the math is on that, many years of pain that she had that day to day. I mean, she pointed. She actually referred to a spot here on her side. So we prayed the prayer of faith over her, believing with her. And she got done with the prayer, and she felt, and she same spot, and she poked hard. She said, "It's gone. I feel no pain at all after years and years of pain." You know, God is faithful. Amen.
That was the most amazing trip. This is my third one, and it was awesome to have some of the guys we get to share the first experience with be on this one, and this was such an appointed time. I don't know where to start. To minister, just going in these villages and you know, everywhere you go, there was somebody always walking, and you just start getting creative, and you just start grabbing people right off the road. And one that really sticks out is me and my interpreter just walking up, and there's about three kids just getting out of school. They're in their uniforms, and I was just like, well, let's just talk to them. And they're about 8 to 10 years old, and we started talking to them. And all of a sudden, here comes a couple more, then a couple more. We ended up with an audience sitting in the middle of the road. We blocked this whole road off. We had 28 children.
Whoa.
And probably about 6 adults around us, and we're telling them the gospel.
Yeah.
excuse me, and it was it was just something else, and there was only a handful that that knew the story, and they wanted to receive Christ into their hearts, and so one started with a little more, and it was just amazing. And then we're at this ministry at this church, and we're sitting there having dinner, and there's this little boy sitting there, and a bunch of us are sitting just sitting there, and I was joking around with him, playing with him, and he'd made mention that he's been having problems with his stomach. He's had it all week, and it's just awesome. We get a team together, you know, the verse where wherever two or three are gathered, there he is right there, so we just made this complete circle with our chairs and prayed for this little boy, and boom, instant healing over his stomach.
Hallelujah.
Dissipated. A woman that had an abortion and had pains just walking in and around her house. Me and Catherine and I can't remember man's name. Prayed for her. The pain left immediately, and she got up and walked around. And from whatever a doctor ripped up inside of her, it was just phenomenal. And, you know, it's one thing, you know, verse that comes to my mind sitting down here is Isaiah 52. Who will go? Who will I send? You know, send us.
Amen.
Well, I think I'm the only one out of the group that didn't have no miracle stories during the day. Mine were all salvations. I'm very grateful of the training that I had. I'm very grateful of the training that I had underneath Cole, because most every time when we preached a four-point gospel, people would receive whether they knew the story or not, because it was just that powerful. But I remember one time I had two men sitting outside of a house, and they were working on it, and we just went up there anyway and started talking to them. And one man, through the series of questions, we realized that he was saved. And then his friend, when I asked him where would he go if he was to die, he looked at his other friend. He goes, "Oh, I'd go to heaven. I'm saved." And I'm just like, "Yeah, you're lost as a goose, you know. You're just saying it just to be saying it." And so I just kind of went into other tactics, you know, with the Romans Road, and that didn't work. And then I went to the Ten Commandments, and that worked. It made them think even more, you know. But it took me three times to get to them, to make them understand that they were lost, that he was lost. But I didn't realize it until another man had walked up, and we had already been in the conversation for like 20 or 30 minutes. He hadn't heard half of what I'd even said. And my interpreter said, "Shannon, he wants to receive Christ." And I was like, "Well, great, you know, let's go, you know." And then the other guy who said he was saved followed us and said the sinner's prayer too. And so I'm just very grateful for the training that I had. One stuck out with me and Scott. It was our very first day. We just went out and it poured rain. I mean, I got so drenched. And, you know, you're walking, praise God, I wore my tennis shoes, but I was walking through mud, drenched from head to toe, and no telling what we were walking through. But anyway, we walked up to this one house, and it was a grandma and her two grandchildren. And there was really absolutely nothing in this house. Cement floors, the little plastic chairs that you buy at Walmart. And these two little kids, they would not talk to us at all. You know, we kept trying to create a conversation with them. So finally, you know, we asked the grandma, "What's wrong?" You know, and so she kind of talked to them, and they said that they were so embarrassed because of what we had to go through to be there, because they were so shameful of the living conditions that they had compared to what they knew that we came from. And that so touched my heart, you know. And so we told them that it doesn't matter. You know, we're not there to be comfortable. We're there to share the gospel and to know that one day we would see them in heaven. The other thing that touched my heart is on a Sunday we went to go to a church, and we just really stayed for the praise and the worship because they were doing testimonies of their cell groups that night. And this was the people who run the Bible school?
Yeah, David and Hilda's church is Primera Iglesia Reformada. That's the church I went to when I was in Honduras.
Yeah, it was a wonderful church. And we sang the same songs that we sing here. And they're so beautiful to listen to in Spanish. But what really touched my heart was they pulled Cole up to speak. And then they had all of us come up. And we stood up on the platform. And they sang, "We Bow Down" in English to us. Yeah. And that touched my heart because they didn't have to do that. You know, we were there to bless them and just to be there and just to experience worship in their church. But they so appreciated what we came to do that they honored us with a song. And so that was really, really awesome. And one thing that Cole mentioned up here was it was not about us. And Cole prepared us for that. You know, he told us that when you preach the gospel, you will see miracles. And when you see it up there on the screen, it is nothing compared to being there. You know, when we, and some of us got a chance to preach, whether we did miracle stories or the gospels or whatever, you know, and to see all those people, our first night, not only did we get drenched during the day, but it was like a monsoon rain that night, right at the altar call. It was just total downpour. But the people stayed, babies in their arms, and they stayed. They stayed for healing. They stayed for salvation. And it wasn't about us. It was because the gospel was preached. You know, one statement Jerry made one time when we got to sit with him was that he's not well known all over the country. You would think if you would listen to how many salvations he has, that he would be more well known. You know, like a Benny Hinn or some of the ones on TBN. And he's not well known. But he doesn't care. Because it's not about him. It's about God. And there's so much more work to do out there. And so he doesn't care whether he's well-known or not. And that really hit me. Because sometimes we look to see how well-known a preacher is before we give them credit or we listen to them or whatever. But it's not about us. It's what God needs to do through us.
Amen.
This was an amazing opportunity. The Crusades were awesome. They were so blessed. We went door-to-door during the day on the first day of our Crusade, which we just had half a day. And we went to this lady's house, and her two children were sick, small children. They were younger than Abigail and Aiden. I mean, they were young, sick with fevers and sweating profusely. and she had a baby in a hammock, wrapped up in a blanket, and she's like, he has a fever. And I'm like, what are you doing? You know, because if a baby gets hot enough, they can go into seizures. They can basically have brain damage because they get too, you know, their body temperature is too high. Well, we were like, George went with us. Where's George? George went with us. We prayed for her. Her family got saved. There was three of them. The father didn't, but the mother and the son and the daughter did. And we said, you know, is there anybody that we can pray for? Well, we prayed for the little girl, as she had two babies. We prayed for the little girl that was sick. I think they were twins. They were about the same age. Then we prayed for the little boy. We didn't see any results. And we told her, well, come back. The crusade is tonight. Come back and see, you know, we can pray for her again. And she came. She came to me and she said, I can't, I don't know what to do. My baby's still sick. Well, what am I supposed to do? And Cole talked to her and Cole's like, well, you need to come back. You need to bring that baby here. And I was like, Cole, that's so insensitive. You know, this baby has a fever. Let's go to the baby. And Cole's like, no, bring the baby here. I didn't say that, but you know, that's what I was thinking in my mind. Cole's like, bring the baby here. And she did. It started pouring, and like Shannon said, it was pouring. There was lightning, there was thunder. The faith of these people was amazing. She brought that baby, that little small child, out of her home in the pouring rain. And we're like, no, we can't leave the house because it's raining. What, I mean, that's that, you know, the faith of the people was amazing. That touched my heart. We went to another lady the third day that we were on the crusade. She couldn't hear. She couldn't talk.
Amanda, the baby was healed.
The baby was healed. Yeah. The baby was healed. Yeah. The baby was healed. Yeah, which is important. That's what that was the whole point of this, telling that story. Yes, praise God. We went to another house. It was a Christian lady's house. The other lady couldn't hear. She couldn't speak. She was deaf and she was mute. And we tried to minister to her, and we said, you know, let us preach the gospel to you. Let us tell you about Jesus. And she was like, no, I don't want to hear. I don't want to, you know, I just, there's no reason for me to hear about it. I can't hear you anyway. And the lady that was a Christian, she tried to talk to this lady. She didn't know sign language either. So I don't know how she communicated with people. But we told her, we said, come back to the crusade tonight. And she did. The lady that was a Christian brought the mute lady that was mute and deaf. She brought her. She said, come with me. So they went. We prayed. We did the altar call. We did the healing prayer. And she went up and she said, you know what? And, you know, you couldn't understand her because she couldn't talk. She couldn't hear, so she didn't know what she sounded like. Hilda was like, what is your story? And she tried to talk to her, and she was really loud, but she heard. She could hear. After all that time that she was deaf, she could hear what we were saying to her. That's amazing.
Amen. It's always an amazing thing to see a deaf mute be healed, because they, you know, especially if they've been born deaf mutes. They've never heard anything. They don't know how to speak. But boy, you know it when they're healed, because they're loud and fun. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, Brother Cole kept me in line that way. I tend to talk too much, so there's a lot of stories to tell. And first of all, I'd like to thank everybody for giving us this opportunity. Looking at the tribute to Pastor Newman, that's one of the reasons we were there. He prepared us, Pastor Lenore. Thank you. Brother Cole, no better leader to take us down there. I think I'm an awesome driver. I can pretty much drive with anybody, but if I was to drive down in Honduras, I don't think none of us would be here today. So thank you, Brother Cole, for taking good care of us, and we just give God the glory. Marilyn and Jerry were just so awesome. They ministered to us. The people of Honduras were so open and receptive. And they were so lovable. The students from the school were so, so awesome. They helped us through so much, understanding their culture. And they were also willing to learn about our culture also. You know, we tend to, well, what are we going to eat today? And we just go, oh, we have big choices and stuff like that. Well, beans, rice, chicken. What are you eating this evening? Beans, rice, chicken. What are we eating tomorrow? Beans, rice, chicken. But we were beans and rice, chicken. But it was, but you know, through all that, we got through it. We didn't have any stomach problems, anything. So the Lord kept us safe in that aspect. So I couldn't ask for a better partner to go with ministering door to door. I had Joe to go with me. I learned a lot. Joe is phenomenal. Humble man. Miss Lenora, you sat there and ministered him last Sunday evening. He has a heart for the souls as well. I learned so much from him. And Joe, I just want to say thank you. And all these individuals up here, I know them. And they're true friends now. I mean, we come to church and say, hey, how you doing? Goodbye, whatever, and go on with our business. But we have actually, Scott has actually come over to my house a couple of times. I've gone over there and stuff. I mean, something that we haven't done before. So we've developed relationships throughout this process also. Dorothea's wife has come over to visit my wife while we were gone. So, I mean, so there's relationships building within this group as well. So that's awesome also. So God worked within us as well. But while we were down there, I'll keep it short now.
Miracles.
We went down, and I'll let Joe show one of the stories. But what was so awesome about this one is that when we got back to the church, Joe goes, you were hesitant about that place, weren't you? And I'm going, yeah, because it was an area where, you know, for me, I didn't feel safe and secure there. But Joe's a go-getter. It didn't bother him. He went after him. And I followed along, and there we were. And I'll let him share that story. But thank you for your prayers, because we walked into a house. Joe didn't notice this, but where I grew up at and how I grew up, you have to be aware of what's around you. Well, when I walk into a house, that's the first thing I do. I look around, make sure everything's all right and anybody behind me, what's going on. Well, there was a gun sitting on his couch where he was sitting, and we're sitting there ministering to him. So anything could happen, but, you know, we had God's divine protection over us, and he was real, real nice, real polite. You know, I don't know what kind of business he was in, but, you know, he opened his door to us, and we planted seeds there. I mean, he didn't receive, but, you know, we planted a seed there, and his mother is a Christian, and she's working on it. He had scripture on the walls written. It's not like our plaques. It's written on paper. His mom would write it on paper and stick it on the walls. But we went out to, on the third day, we went out to a village, and it actually seemed like Brother Cole was with us this time around. We actually seemed like we had to walk a million miles uphill, both ways it seemed like. So we got there. It was both ways, wasn't
it? Was.
So
it was just a little
we went to this house, and they were sitting around, and there was about three families there. And turned out to be that we walked further along. We ran into another family that actually, what was so awesome is that they would run to their other houses and say, hey, these guys are coming, you know. And they were really open and willing to take us in. But when we spoke to these ladies, they were already believers. They had already called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we asked, talked with them a little bit and stuff. We asked if there was anybody, any prayers or any needs that we could pray for. And the elderly lady, maybe about 80, in her 80s and stuff, had cataracts. Couldn't see us. Really couldn't see. She could see shadows. And we laid hands on her, and even the other believers that were there with us prayed for her. And by the time we left, she was able to see our faces, was able to could distinguish the color of my shirt. And, I mean, what she couldn't do before. And she did hesitate and say, well, we were outside and it was sunny and bright. And she was covering up her eyes a little bit because she was saying that the sunlight was irritating her eyes. And it was just an awesome, awesome experience. And sometimes I'll end with this. Sometimes we say that, you know, you have to go overseas or somewhere else to see these miracles. I remember what Jerry said. He goes, no, you just have to go where the need's at. And there's, like Miss Lenore said, there's a need out there. And when we went back to school on Monday after the 3 days of crusading, Jerry asked us, he goes, "How many have you guys ministered to since you've been back?" And that was just like, whoa, reality hit. It's not just a three-day deal. It's every day of our lives. So whenever you go back and leave out, go out these four walls, make sure that you keep that in mind, that we have to be ministers every single day of our lives. May it be at our workplace, at the convenience store, or even at home.
Amen. One thing we learned on that trip was that Alberto can preach.
Yeah. Well, I'd just like to thank everybody for giving us the opportunity to go, and you're a part of it. Everything that happened there was because you helped make it possible. And my partner was Mark's wife, Sandra. And I really learned a lot from her, and not only that, endurance, because she was 10 weeks pregnant, and she wasn't feeling real good during the time we were going, so you have to keep up with her. And the first place we went to was a house where there was a drug house. They sold drugs. And Sandra and I seemed to have the slum areas. And second day we went, the first house we went to was, there were homosexuals. So we had a hard time with some of them accepting. And those two places didn't accept, but everywhere else we had someone accepted Jesus. And one of the places we went to, there was three women and numerous children, and there was an old man in a hammock that was asleep, and the three women accepted and the children accepted Jesus. And all the time this man was sleeping, he would rouse a little bit, but he just couldn't wake up, and they said he was in his 80s. And so they asked if we would pray for him. Sandra said yes. She tapped him on the shoulder, tried to make him understand to see if he would accept Jesus, and he really couldn't hear her. And so we did pray for him. She asked if I would pray, so I prayed, and we prayed for his hearing, and he understood that what we were doing, and he couldn't raise his arm. He made me understand he couldn't raise his arms. So after we prayed for him, then she checked his hearing, and he was able to hear. She did lead him to Jesus. He also showed us that he could move both arms over his head. Mm-hmm. And another house we went to, there was a four-day-old baby, and it was a Christian house that we walked up to. They had loud Christian music playing. The whole family was saved except for the two young girls. And they weren't sure. They wanted to ask Jesus into their hearts. They believed, but they weren't sure they wanted to. And when they did, they brought this baby out and asked if we would pray. And so we laid hands on this 40-year-old baby. They said it had breathing problems. And as we began to pray, you could feel the Holy Spirit touch the baby's body. And mother, she just said, "Oh, I can feel what God's doing to my baby." And that was exciting, too. So, again, I'm glad I got the opportunity to go. My brother was in yesterday. He asked me if I'd go again. I said, in a heartbeat.
Amen. Thank you. We're running out of time, so.
One of the great things of the spiritual life that we all walk in is the ability to share with each one of you and bring back what God is doing in each one of our lives. And He is doing a lot of things in our lives here, and this is what we need to do. This is what He told us, even in the hours of very darkness, that we need to bring this forth and share with everybody. And this is what He did when He was upon this earth. And this is what we're getting to do. He gives us His pleasure. And the great thing about this is the purpose. And I'm just going to say just a few words in each one of our lives. And Pastor Lenore has been dealing with purpose. Purpose is the glory of God upon each one of us. And that is the purpose in our life, because that glory reaches out every time that we go out on these crusades. And right here with us this day, that the glory reaches out, and this is what the action is. The glory of God creates the action, and this is what we're doing here. And one of the things, Alberto was very observant in these things. I am kind of naive. I just kind of go, and he gave you one area that we went in this house that I didn't know the weapon was there. He told me about it later. But one of the great things, we went to up on a hill, walking up on a hill. There was five or six men in a billiards area playing pool. Some of the men were smoking there, and this is the time that I said, this is where we're going. As we went there, I could feel God's anointing power up on this place, and I knew He would just, this was an appointment that we had to be. And one of the gentlemen there was dealing with drugs, and we knew he was had dealt with drugs, and you could see it in his eyes. As we ministered to him, Alberto, and God's power was around us. The young man felt the power of God on him, and he just dropped to his knees. Sickles, girls were coming, walking in the door. People were coming. And you know, this is what it's all about, guys. This is what it's all about. And he has put in each one of us the purpose to do this. And this is what this church is doing right here. And this is what we're doing here. And this is the reason we're coming back and to share. And this is what we need to do. All of us have this in us to share. And we share this. And this gets everyone going, and God just keeps moving, and he's going to keep moving further and further. I can see it. It's the big purpose, the big picture. The glory of God is upon each one of us, and it's coming. So everybody get ready, and when we step out of these doors today, go for it.
Amen.
God is there. Hallelujah. Thank
you. Hallelujah.
Those are all very true words. Experience that we had in Honduras is probably second to none. I've never run across this in my life. The salvations, I knew we was going to have a lot of salvations. I knew that from the very beginning. The miracles part of it, I didn't really expect quite the way I saw. Second day that we were out, it was in the morning, and we went to a little store. There's a little store about every block that sells pop and candy and stuff like that. And we go trotting in there and lead a lady to the Lord and ask them if they had anybody that needed some healing or needed any prayer. So they brought out this little girl, and 12 years old. And in talking to her, the interpreter was talking to her and found out that she didn't know the Lord. So the first thing we did was lead her to the Lord. She accepted Christ. Then we ask what she needed prayer for. And this is really the sad part about the whole thing. She had HIV, and she had gotten it from her father. And so we laid her hands. When we touched her, she was very hot, very hot. And, it just made you want to cry. The whole thing was just really unbelievable. And so we prayed for her, and when we finished, I reached over and touched her on her forehead, and her forehead was cool. Now, I don't know for a fact that she got healed, but I really believe she was. and it was an amazing thing that happened there. About an hour later, it was my turn to minister to this young lady, and she was 24 years old, we found out. Didn't know the Lord. So she accepted the Lord, and we asked her if there was anything she needed prayer for. And she said yes, and we were outside on the porch. And she asked us to go inside the house for this prayer, which was kind of unusual. But we went ahead and went in, and in talking to her, we asked her, what the problem was. And she said, I have a tumor on the right side of my breast, on the right breast. And she said, it's about the size of a marble. And so she asked us to pray for that. And so we, the three of us that were there, prayed in agreement over that. And as they were taking her name down afterwards, they were keeping track of everybody that was saved. I asked the interpreter to please ask her about the tumor. And she felt, and she said, there's nothing there. And I said, be very careful and check yourself again and make sure. And she checked again, and she said, it's gone. So, God moves in very mysterious ways.
Amen.
And that part of it was just fantastic for me.
Amen.
Well, it was so amazing to see the power of the simple gospel and the miracles that God still does today. And on the first day, that first afternoon, we were out. Kendra and I and our translator were going house to house, and we came to this woman and her six or seven children. She had a lot of children anyway. And we gave them the gospel, and they all received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And then we asked them if anybody needed healing. And they said, that their grandmother did, that she couldn't see very well, and she was in her bedroom, laying in her bed. She said that she never gets out of her bed because she can't see well enough to walk around the house. So we went back there, and we gave her the gospel, and she got saved, and then we prayed for her. And when we got done praying, we asked her to look up, and when she looked up, her face just lit up. She didn't even have to say that she was healed. But we asked her anyway to tell us what color her hair was and different things around the room, and she could see clear across the room. She could see. It was so amazing.
Awesome.
And not very many houses later down the road, we came to this woman and prayed for her. She had bad knees. And she said as soon as we got done praying that instantly much of the pain had left her knees.
Amen.
It was so amazing.
Amen. Kindred likes to pretend that she's shy.
No. I had an amazing time in Honduras. I don't have a healing story to tell, although there was a lot of healings. But my interpreter was Linda on the second day. She was 11 years old. She was awesome to be around. And we were all just hanging out while we were waiting to see which part of the village we were going to go to next. And we went up to this little boy and we asked him, we were like, do you know if you were to die today, if you were to go to heaven or hell? And he goes, no. We were like, well, would you like to know? He goes, no. I go, well, can we tell you a story? He goes, yeah. So we told him the story of Jesus. We told him how he died for us and everything. And then we asked him again, we were like, would you like to be saved? And he goes, yes. And to me, that was amazing how the gospel worked. How at first he didn't want to know anything about it. And then when he found out about the life of Jesus, it worked through his life.
Amen. Praise God. We have a short video. I know we're running short on time, but we have a short video clip that we want to show you from our trip. And then we have something after that, and it will be real quick. So go ahead and roll the video. You guys can sit down, but don't go too far. Hallelujah. Well, today you've heard of a few testimonies of miracles and salvations, but I tell you what, I want to bring it back to one thing. It's the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God and the salvation to all that believe. And we know that salvation isn't just, you know, getting your ticket punched and going to heaven. But it has to deal with healing and prosperity and all these different things. So with that, I'd like, you know, Matt, if you could come and touch the guitar a little bit, you know. I want you to think about this, and we never close a service here at Word of Life Church without doing this, without extending this invitation. Jesus is here right now. You've heard testimonies. You've heard the gospel. I mean, he died to set us free. He shed his blood so that we could have life, and he rose again so that we could live that life. Tonight or today, as you think about this, let's everyone bow our heads and close our eyes, and I want to speak to you as individuals. If there's any of you in here, if there's anyone in here that's never accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if you would say to me, Brother Cole, I don't know for sure that I would go to heaven if I died right now. I don't even know if there is a heaven. I don't know if there's a hell. I don't know what. I'm here to tell you right now that heaven and hell is real, and that we have a decision to make. The Bible says in Deuteronomy that God has set before us life and death, blessings and cursings. God says you have a choice to make. I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. And God wants us to choose life. He says, choose life. Today's your opportunity. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the opportunity right now to choose life. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It says in verse 10, that if with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You may say, Brother Cole, hey, I believe the story that you told. I believe the gospel. I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. I believe that Jesus did many miracles showing God's love. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his blood. I believe that he rose from the dead to give me life. The only thing that you need to do is call on him with your own voice and ask him to be your Lord. So if there's anybody in here like that, that'd like to make that the cry of their heart right now, every head's bowed, every eye's closed, I'd like you to raise your hand. Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Jesus is here to save us, to heal us right now. Is there anyone? I see that hand. I see that hand. Praise God. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Don't be afraid. I see that other hand. Praise the Lord. What I want you to do is, as the team that went to Honduras comes up here, I want you to come up too. Guys went to Honduras, you come on back. You guys come up here. If anybody wants to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I want you to come up here and meet this team here, because they're going to pray for you. They're going to pray for you, and you're going to have new life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Well, Shannon, would you talk with them? As Shannon is praying with these two here, I want to in these three here. I tell you what, praise God. Is there anybody else that wants to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Now's the time to come. Now's the time to come. Praise God. Well, we'll go ahead and we'll pray. And as they're praying, I want to extend another invitation to you. If you have any need in your body, if you have a need for a healing, if you have a need in your finances, if you have a need in your relationship, I don't care. God has He doesn't care how big your need is. He doesn't care how small your need is. He does not care. If you've got a headache, if you stubbed your toe, He doesn't care. He wants to help you. He wants to heal you. If you have a need in your life, if you'd like to be prayed for, the altar is open, and this team up here, they're going to pray for you. And you guys, we're going to see the same miracles that we saw on the mission field. We're going to see the same God move just the same way, because that's the way God moves. Amen? So come on up. Our altars are open. Matt, go ahead and play a song. And you guys, just come on up. If you have a need of healing, if you have a need in your life that you want prayed for, this team is up here to help you.